Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians. Be talking a little bit this evening, if it's the Lord's will, about the day of the Lord. Now, some of this that we're going to be talking about, it doesn't matter to me where you stand on it. But wherever you stand on it, you need to use the Bible to back up where you stand on it. You know, you don't need to say, well, I've heard this all my life. I find that anything that we believe should come out of this book, right? I mean, that we should rightly divide the word of truth. And, you know, and I've been guilty of this at times past in my life too. Well, I just believe this way just because that's how I've been told my whole life. Well, you know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Okay. And so when we start talking about, you know, how we believe things and look, there's some things that we don't compromise on. Amen. I'm not going to compromise with anybody about the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm not going to compromise with anybody the fact that Jesus Christ came to this world and was born of a virgin. That's not up for debate. That's not up for compromise. And there's a reason that Jesus had to be born from a virgin. We're not going to teach about that. Maybe that's a lesson for another day. But that's not up for compromise. All right. What's not up for compromise is the fact that Jesus Christ was God's sacrifice for the sin of the world. That's not up for compromise. The fact that God raised Jesus on the third day is not up for compromise. And the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to God and the only way, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's not up for compromise. That's not up for debate. And we need to stand firm on what the Bible says. Now, there's other things in the Bible that, you know what, I have my beliefs on them, but, you know, I've kind of got in there and studied, and you know, that's why I have the beliefs that I have about it. I'm not here to sway your opinion or anything like that. But if you have a belief, then it needs to come out of this and not what you hear from somebody else. It doesn't need to come from me. You know, if I stand up here and I say something and you don't agree with it or you don't believe that way, that's fine. You go get in your Bible. You come to me and say, you know what, I was studying this and the Bible says here, 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 and here that it's this way. You know what, I mean, I ought to be mature enough and I'll be man enough to say, you know what, I'm going to take a look at that. And if my heart is right and I get in, because a lot of times we get into the Bible not to see what God has for us, but to prove ourselves right. Amen? Because, you know, we'll have something in our mind that's like, you know what, I'm going to look for that verse that proves that I'm right. Okay? And what we should be doing is, God, I don't have a right to say that I'm right about anything. I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to study it. And whatever you say is what's right, whether or not I agree with it or not. Right? So when we study the Word of God, it ought not be to prove. Now, there's things that you're going to get in there and study and you're going to say, man, that's right. And that's how I believe. Praise the Lord. And there's going to be times, you know, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of marrows and as a thought and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, the Bible, when we get in there and we see things, it's like, oh, I wasn't taught that way, or oh, I don't believe that way. Well, if you come cross against the Bible, then that's on you. That ain't on God, because this is true, right? So, having said that, there's some things that might come up. So, and I'll just tell you, if you think that the church is going to be here for the tribulation, that's fine. Okay? If you don't think the church is going to be here during the tribulation, that's fine too. Just study it out and be able to use the Bible and scriptures in the Bible and rightly divide those scriptures to say, this is why I believe the way that I believe. You know, because I think that once we get to heaven, I'm going to find out I was wrong about some things. Apparently I'm the only one in here like that. I believe that. I mean, I believe that you know, when I'm known even as I am also known, okay, I don't know if we ever really, and maybe we'll get into this lesson, maybe not, but think about that. Now, does the Bible say that God has counted the hairs on our heads? Okay, it said he knows when the sparrow falls, right? And so it says that God is a discerner, or the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, the Bible says over in Matthew that every word that comes out of our mouth has been recorded. All right, and so God knows me better than I know me. Right? God knows how I'm going to react to a situation before that situation even presents itself to me. Okay, so when the Bible says that I will know even as I am also known. Think about that. We're going to know each other like God knows us. Right? Now it's not going to be the same over yonder than as what it is here, because, man, I'm glad people can't read minds. Right? I mean, I'm thankful that I can't read other people's minds, and I'm sure thankful that they can't read mine. Amen. Right? But when we get over there, we're going to know each other. I mean, like God knows us. And I mean, man, you want to talk about a blessing. Hey, them crowns is fine, but just to think that we, the love that we're going to have, right? I mean, the Bible says that we're not supposed to be respecters of person, but that's kind of impossible for us. Right? That's not impossible as it relates to, you know, having a love and wanting to see people saved. But I can't love any of you in here the same way as I love my kids. That's just the way it is. And you can't love me the same way as you love your kids. That's just the way it is. Right? But over there, we will. I mean, I'll have the same love for people that I've never met in my life as I do that I have for my kids, right? I mean, that's something to look forward to, okay? So let's get on into this, and, you know, we'll see how far it goes. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, we see a lot how the world is, people saying that, you know, I think it's going to be really soon that Jesus Christ comes back. And you will find there's a lot of places in the New Testament that gives warnings. Okay, there's warnings in 1 Timothy. There's warnings in 2 Timothy, in 1 and 2 Peter, in James, in Hebrews, okay, and in 2 Thessalonians. There's warnings to the church, and there's warnings to Christians about things that are going to come to pass and things that are going to happen. And you get a lot of people that say, well, I don't need to know about any of that stuff because I'm not going to be here. Okay, well, that's great. If God decides to call the church out, okay, but before the tribulation starts, praise the Lord. Should you not read that to tell people what they have to look forward to if they don't accept the blood of Jesus? I mean, we need to quit being so selfish that, oh, it's all about me. No, it ain't all about you. Right? I saw this and I share. I'm not a poster or a sharer on Facebook, but I shared this. Okay? And it had a Bible opened up. And it says, the Bible is not about you. Okay, the Bible is not about health and wealth. The Bible is about God and what He did to save us from sin. Amen. That's what the Bible is about. Okay, so when we talk about these things, and when these writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, when they are writing about things that are going to come to pass, like the prophecy, okay, yes, we do need to study those things, because we need to tell people, hey, if you don't allow Jesus Christ to save your soul, this is what you got coming, okay? So let's get into it here. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, okay, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So now when we look at Paul writing this to the church at Thessalonica, there were people that were coming in to the church at Thessalonica and saying, hey, the resurrection has already occurred. Okay? Can I tell you, the resurrection Jesus' resurrection has occurred. But the resurrection of those who have died, okay, that are waiting on Christ to come back, that has not occurred yet. All right? Now, you study that out. I've studied that out. That's not what we're teaching on tonight, but you can study that out, and you can find that has not occurred yet. Okay? So Paul is saying, hey, don't let anybody tell you that these things that we're telling you have already happened. These things are going to happen in the future. Okay? Now, let's look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that the day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we're talking about, if you back up to verse 2, you see where that says the day of Christ? Okay? If you ever come across in the Bible when you're studying the day of the Lord, That's what this is referring to. And I've heard people say, oh, I can't wait for the day of the Lord. Okay? If you say that, you need to stop. All right? Because the day of the Lord is when Jesus Christ comes back. Now, we should all look forward to Jesus Christ coming back. But what Jesus does when he comes back to the people who are here is not going to be a pretty sight. I mean, you can study it out. It says that he will stand on the Mount of Olives, and we'll get into it. And all the nations, okay, will come against Israel. And it says that he will destroy them with the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. Okay, now that doesn't mean when Jesus Christ. Now you want to talk about awesome power. That's not saying that Jesus Christ has a sword coming out of his mouth. Like, that means he will speak the word. Amen. He will speak the word. And that's when it's over for anyone who has not accepted the salvation by the grace of God. Okay, that's the day of the Lord. Okay, turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll show you. What is the definition of the day of the Lord? Isaiah chapter 2. Look at verse 12. It should be in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12. Who is the day of the Lord reserved for? All right. People think the day of the Lord is when Jesus comes and takes us home. But that's not what the Bible says. For the day of the Lord, is that what it says in Isaiah? For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. So now what does that talk about when the day of the Lord occurs? It shall be upon those, okay, who are not saved. This is talking about people who are lost. All right? That's not talking about the people that are saved. Right? Because the Bible tells us that we have not been reserved unto wrath. Right? God will not pour his wrath out upon us. Why? Because when he looks at each and every one of us, he's already poured his wrath out on our sin when he did it 2,000 years ago to Jesus. Right? That's when God's wrath, that's the wrath that God had reserved for me and you, okay? That's where God's wrath was poured out for every sin that I committed and every sin that you committed. God poured his wrath out on Jesus for our sin, okay? So when God comes again, okay, and that's what the tribulation is talking about, okay? If you're going to study Bible prophecy, everybody wants to read Revelation, okay? There's a lot of books there, and I'll tell you this: if you're going to study Bible prophecy about what's coming at the end, you need to do so prayerfully. Right? Because we might get into, because we'll study that and, well, I'm going to study this to prove I'm right. Hey, we need to enter in when we're studying about the things that are going to happen prayerfully. Lord, just give me wisdom. Lord, just give me knowledge. Lord, help me to rightly divide your word so I can use this to hopefully help someone be saved. Okay, that's why we need to know. Not so we can go around, I've seen people, oh, well, you know, I know what's going to happen here, I know what's going to happen there, and they want to talk about how smart. It has nothing to do with that. We ought to use the prophecies that God lays out to tell people, hey, this is what's coming, and if you don't want to have to see Jesus land on that Mount of Olives and see him look at you and open his mouth and you be disintegrated, okay, then you need to let him save your soul right now. Okay, so, but you also have to look at Daniel. So when you talk about, it talks about 7 years, it talks about a great tribulation. Over in Daniel, it says times, time, and half times. Okay, so when you see that, that's what the tribulation is referred to in Daniel. It'll be times, time, and half time. Okay, and actually that's 3.5 years. Okay, so the day of the Lord is not a good thing, right? For those who are lost. Okay, so now let's look back here. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians. So what should we look for? What should we see out in the world that will tell us that the day of the Lord is close? Look what it says here in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody tell you something different. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Okay? So the first thing that we need to look for is a falling away from God. Okay? Now, if you know me, I like looking up words. Okay, sometimes I'll look them up and it don't mean a thing to me. Other times I look it up and I was like, oh, wow. Okay, did you all know that the word apostasy is not in the Bible? Now, apostate is, but apostasy is not in the Bible. But if you look up that word falling, okay, that's what it says, right? It says that day shall not come except there first be a falling away. Is that what the Bible says? I didn't write that. That's what God wrote. Okay? That word falling in the Greek, which is what this is written in, apostasia. Okay? A-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-A. Okay? And if you need me to tell you, that's where we get the word apostasy. And what that word means is to defect. So when we talk about people who are apostates or apostasy in the last days, that's talking about people who defect from God. Okay? Now, look, you do with it what you want to do with it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? But I know that when we say that somebody defects, okay, if a person defects from a country, what does that mean? That means that at one point in time they were a citizen of that country and they choose not to be a citizen of that country and take up citizenship in another country, correct? I mean, we got them swimming 70 miles from Cuba every day trying to defect to the United States, okay? At the end of the Cold War, there were thousands upon thousands of Russians that saw the collapse of Russia, and they look at it and they say, I don't want to be a citizen of Russia anymore. I want to come, and they would exchange military information or what have you. They'd go to some consulate or whatever and say, I want to defect, and I want to become a citizen of the United States. And that's what Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica here. He says, if you want to know when the day of the Lord is, the first thing that you're going to see is that there are going to be people that defect from the faith. There are going to be people that choose to give up their citizenship. Can you imagine that? Choosing to give up your citizenship in heaven? Can you imagine that? Right? I mean, because the Bible tells me that it's uncorruptible, it's undefiled, it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. But that's what it says, is there will be a great falling away. Do we see that today? Do we see that today? I mean, we really do. We see, I mean, that, you know, and I'm not even just talking about Christians, but think back to the time when I think most of us here are old enough to remember that, like, when we were kids, there was still a reverence for God, regardless of whether somebody was lost or saved, right? I mean, you know, you can think back to when, you know, you might have gone to church as a kid, and you know, you knew the people that lived up your creek or whatever that was lost, and you know what, that they were lost as a ball in high weeds. But I tell you what, you let them say a prayer at a football game, or when they'd sit down and eat, they wouldn't pray. But I tell you what, they would take their hat off, and they would wait until they got done praying. That's not the case anymore. You pray at a football game, and now they want to turn you into the ACLU and say that, oh man, you're trampling on my rights as a citizen of the United States. I don't want to hear that. Well, stay home. I don't care. That's just kind of the way I feel about it, right? But we see a great falling away from God right now. Okay, so that's what first is going to come. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Anybody know who that's talking about? What's that? Somebody said. The Antichrist, right? He's referred to as the beast. He's referred to over in Daniel if you're going to study. And you really can't study Bible prophecy and end time unless you do study Daniel. Okay? Because Revelation and Daniel, it's about at the same time. Okay, so over in Revelation, the Antichrist, the majority of the time, is called the beast or the little horn. All right, over in Daniel, the Antichrist is called the abomination of desolation. Okay, and even Jesus refers to Satan as the Antichrist as the abomination of desolation. Talked about when you see the abomination of desolation set down on the throne in Jerusalem, then it says, whatever you do, you get what you got. Don't go back to your house and get what you got. As soon as you see that man set down, you take to the hills right now. Okay? Now that's Jesus say that. That's not me. Okay? So when we talk about names for, we primarily say Antichrist, but in Daniel, he's referred to as the abomination of desolation. In Revelation, he's referred to as the beast. Okay? So, let's look here. Everybody here in 2 Thessalonians, right? Okay. Let me get back here with you. All right. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, so now we're going to skip down here because Paul goes on to talk about some things, but if we're going to address it in order, okay, of the way things are going to happen, the first thing is going to be there's going to be a falling away. Okay, the second thing that we're going to see, look down at verse 6. Everybody there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. And now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Okay? So, there is something or someone right now that is keeping Satan at bay and keeping Satan from running amok in this world. Anybody know who that is? The Holy Spirit. Right? Because where's Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father, right? And Jesus, and this is the way God made it, all right? So we need to understand this, okay? Jesus is a man. Amen? I mean, I think we think that he was just a man, while he was on this earth, and then when he ascended up to heaven, Jesus is still a man, right? He's coming back as a man, but he's 100% man, he's 100% God, okay? He is God manifested in the flesh. Okay, that's who Jesus is. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go. Okay, for if I don't go, then the Comforter will not come. And we know that the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. So God is working in this world now by and through the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's what Paul is saying right here in verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He says, hey, you know who's holding Satan back. And the reason they know is because they have the Holy Spirit in their heart. Right? Now look what it says here in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We know that Satan's in the world, right? The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the princes of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, right? I mean, we see sin in the world. We see people doing things that you can't attribute it to anything else, but that Satan is in them doing that. Okay, so we know that Satan is working, but Satan is not yet to the point that God is going to allow him to come and have what he thinks is control during the tribulation period. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, okay, now that's talking about the Holy Spirit, until he be taken out of the way. Okay, so the first thing that we see is we see a great falling away. The second thing that we see is the Holy Spirit backing up and saying, okay, it's time, and allowing Satan to come and take the form of the beast, right? Which is amazing to me, and this is something that we need to tell people. Like, here you are, you're allowing Satan to take you to hell, but everything that Satan does, God allows him, okay? Satan has to have God allow him, you know, just like he came to God and was wanting to test Job, right? Well, if God had looked at Satan and said, no, you ain't touching him, you ain't touching what's his, you're not touching his family, go find something. Hey, Satan has to deal with that. Why? Because he doesn't come close to God, right? And he has spent his whole existence, and we'll find that, you know, if you read over in Isaiah, you'll read the reason that Lucifer, that was his name as the angel, was cast out of heaven was because he thought that he could do it as good, if not better, than God could, right? But he still can't do anything without God allowing him to do that, okay? So what we see, the second thing, okay, we have the first, there's a great falling away. The second thing, the Holy Spirit is going to back up and he's going to allow the Antichrist to come to the forefront. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, well, God's going to pull the Holy Spirit out of this world. No, he's not. No, he's not. Well, I've heard that anybody ever heard that? That like during the tribulation period that the Holy Spirit's leaving? Okay, well, let me ask you this. If the Holy Spirit leaves, how can those 144,000 Jews be saved? Because that's what the Bible says. And you can study this yourself. I'm just, okay. The Bible says that there's going to be 12,000 Jews of every tribe. There's 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. 144,000 people, Jews, that God saves. And he's going to send those people out in the world to preach the gospel. Okay. And the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you are none of his. Okay? So if we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, then we don't have salvation. Okay? So to say that God is going to totally pull the Holy Spirit back up into the third heaven, that's not the case, because there are going to be, the Bible talks about over in Revelation, there's going to be a number of people that can't be counted that are going to be saved during the tribulation period. And the only way that they can be saved is by the blood of Jesus and to receive the Holy Spirit in their life. But what will happen, and you can see this in this world right now, the Holy Spirit backing away. Things that we would have never tolerated before are being tolerated now. Okay? I mean, you think about it. They are marketing. When we said and we allow somebody to market a movie that exploits children for sexual purposes, okay? And that fella is not taken out up a holler somewhere and just, I mean, now look, Bible tells us not to be brawlers, okay? But you think about that. What would have happened 50 years ago? What would have happened 20 years ago if that would happen? Be like, hey, you know what? You'd go into the cops, hey, you don't have to worry about this. You boys go grab you a donut and a cup of coffee. Okay, we'll let you know how it turns out. And you're not going to have to worry about that anymore. But now, no, that's just it's a sexual preference. Not in my house. Okay? And that's the stand. Hey, look, church, we have to take a stand. Okay, against things, regardless of whether or not the world agree with it or not. But if you think that you're going to exert your sexual preference perceived in my presence, that ain't going to happen. Okay? And that's the stand that we need to take. But we can see now that the Holy Spirit is withdrawing, and now things that are tolerated or that weren't tolerated before are tolerated now. Okay? And we need to make sure that people out in the world know this. Right? We need to make sure. So we see a great falling away. Okay? We see the Holy Spirit withdraw. Okay? Now, after that, we'll take a look here. The Antichrist will be revealed. Okay? Look what it says here in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord... Well, let's just stop right there. Okay, so after the Holy Spirit withdraws, then the Antichrist will be revealed. All right? Now, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. That's a whole other lesson right here. But I just want to give you... And I'll give you the verses if you want to go... If you want to go look it up, okay? What are characteristics of the Antichrist? Yeah? Yes. Ma'am? Yeah, it's kind of... There's thoughts that, like, okay, he's coming from a Persian Empire. There's some people believe that he comes, that he's going to be a descendant of Rome, because it says over in Revelation that Rome is going to be the nation that was once thought dead that rises again. That's one of the things. It doesn't matter if he comes from Persia. It doesn't matter if he comes from Rome. The fact is, he's going to be here, right? Okay, so let's look at what the characteristics that the Bible says of him. Look in verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is talking about the Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Okay, now I want you to notice something there. That's big G. Okay? There is going to be a wrath that Satan is going to try to exert on Christianity like has never been seen in this world during the tribulation period. Okay? Because it says he opposeth God, and he exalts himself above God. All right? Now, what's some other things here? Turn to Daniel chapter 11. Keep your place there in 2 Thessalonians. And turn over to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 37. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 37. Now, this is talking about the Antichrist. Okay, this is talking about Satan. Verse 37. Everybody found it? Daniel chapter 11 and verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Okay, so not only is this guy opposing God and exalting himself above God, this man is not a religious man at all. Okay? And we see now, I mean, they've done polls in our country, and it is trending more and more and more that people, they have zero religion, okay? It's all about me. I mean, I saw something there where people are marrying themselves. Anybody see that? Maybe. I mean... But totally going away of, I will not be subjected or fall under the authority of any power above me. Okay? So it says that he won't regard the God of his fathers. Look what else it says. Nor the desire of women. It's what the Bible says. Okay? Now we look, David got into some trouble because he desired women, right? Right? You know, he's up on the roof of his house, looks down there, sees Bathsheba, she's taking a bath, looks at her, man, she's pretty hot. I want to invite her to supper. You know, we'll send his husband out there, and you know, he has an affair with that woman. Okay? We read throughout history, all right, of men who were kings, but you really find out that either their downfall or the way that they ruled a kingdom was because of their wife, or maybe a mistress, or because of another woman. Okay, this man doesn't even have a desire for women, and that's why a lot of people think that the Antichrist is going to be homosexual. Now, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, no way, because that was taboo, all right? Now, and it makes me so mad that they use a rainbow as their symbol. I mean, you take a rainbow that is symbolic, and it is a covenant, a reminder of the covenant of peace and mercy that God gave to us, and this LB Z-Q-R, whatever takes it. Oh, we got pride. Pride goes before the destruction and the Holy Spirit before the fall. That's what the Bible says. So, you know, you better get your heart right. But it says he won't even desire women.
That coloration was just a slap in God's face.
Amen. Amen. That's who that day of the Lord is reserved for. Nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. So what's going to happen is when this cat comes to the front, then now he's going to say, no, all these gods that you all have served for your whole life, no, you need to worship me. Okay? And you look at it now. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that would much rather follow a man as they would be in the need of God and accept Jesus. Right? So, turn back to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to cover a couple more. He will do great miracles. Okay, I'm not going to take you over here, but if you want to go study this a little bit later, if you turn over to Revelation, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to write it down, Revelation chapter 13 and verses 13 and 14, the Bible says that he will do great miracles in their sight. He said that he will even call down fire from heaven. Okay, now look, what we need to understand, there's two heavens, right? Okay, there are three heavens. Okay, we have, you know, the sky heaven, then we have the space heaven, and then we have the third heaven, which is the heaven where God resides. Okay, and God resides outside of all the created universe that we know. Okay, so when it says that he'll call down fire from heaven, that's talking about the sky. Okay, because he can't command God to do anything. Right? But it says that he will work great miracles. Also, in Revelation chapter 13 and in verses 16 through 17, says, and he will cause all of them to take a mark, that they should not buy or sell except they have that mark. Okay? Now, we commonly refer to that as the mark of the beast. All right? And up until about 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, you're sitting here thinking, well, there's absolutely nobody. Actually, when it says that they'll take a mark in their hand, that's actually talking about the wrist part right here. And when it says they'll take a mark in their forehead, that's actually talking about behind the ear. Okay, that's the body part they're referring to. But I'm sitting here thinking, ain't nobody going to get 666 tattooed onto their forehead. Or nobody's going to get 666 tattooed on the back of her hand. But now, how many people have you seen in the last 2 years that are celebrating the fact that they just got chipped? Huh? How do they know what the serial number is of that? Oh, and by the way, we all know Bill Gates, right? Okay? When all this coronavirus stuff got going, okay, Bill Gates, who apparently if you're a billionaire, that just means you're smarter than everybody else, right? I mean, he might be smarter about computers than me, but I guarantee you he can't bale hay. Right? No. I bet he can't stud a wall. You know, I bet he can't do anything. He introduced a bill through Congress. Okay, now he didn't introduce it, but you know, he goes to these guys that are serving in the House and say, you know what, we need to track everybody in this country to make sure that once we get this COVID vaccine or whatever, we need to make sure we track them to make sure that they have it. Okay? Now, you ready to have your mind blown? You know what that House bill was called? HB 6667. You can look it up. I mean, I'm not lying to you, okay? I'm not trying to scare anybody here. But, hey, church, it's here, right? I mean, it's here, okay? Now, it says over in when it talks about that he will cause everyone to take a mark, then that means that this man is going to control the world economy. Okay? And you think, well, no, there's no way. Have you seen the nationwide coin shortage? I still ain't figured that out yet. Right? Okay, you see the places that we go now where it says we do not accept cash, it's either debit or credit card, right? What's your debit or credit card have in it? It's got a chip, okay? So how much longer, you know, given, and the Bible also says in Daniel that in the last days that knowledge will be increased, okay? So how much longer is it going to be to where they just come out and say, hey, you know what? It's just so cumbersome to carry around that debit card in your billfold. Just go ahead and put that in your hand, and that way when you just come up, there we go. I'm not trying to scare anybody in here, but it's here, right? And that's what we need to be telling people. Like, you know, y'all are just going through marrying and giving in marriage and just going to work and all this stuff. And we see all this stuff come down the pipeline, and it's like the Holy Spirit is withdrawing, and all these things that the Antichrist is going to use to control the world, it's here now. And you know what? A lot of things is, do you think that Satan's not going to use social media? Huh? Hey, let me just go ahead and get this out here, okay? Now, I understand it has a purpose, okay? I understand that, right? But we need to spend less and less time on that filth, okay? Because now what it does is it controls you, and it tells you, what should I be mad at? What should I agree with, regardless of whether or not I'm supposed to be mad at that? Well, why? Well, I don't know. They just told me I'm supposed to be mad about it. We see people like that. We do. And you know what we do the first thing when we get home? Think if we would spend as much time studying the Bible about what God says about the end time as much as we do seeing what somebody posts on stinking Facebook. Now, there's nothing, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with posting pictures of your family or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody happy birthday or all that stuff. But you know, you see just people getting into all this stuff all the time. And it's like, how long did you set? How many times did you type out and getting ready to hit send, but then you typed a word wrong, then you had to go delete the whole thing again, and pretty soon you got 15 minutes into one stinking post on Facebook. Think how much God could have showed you in His Word if you'd have dedicated 15 minutes to it. Okay? I got to move on here. That one's free. Now, this right here, okay, is what we need to take out to the lost. Okay? I want you to look at verse 10. Okay? We're talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. I actually had a conversation with my brother-in-law who I love dearly. Matter of fact, I get along with him a lot better than I do some of my blood family. And we're talking, and you know, he's talking about all this stuff, and you know, I'm sitting here telling him, I said, you know, hey man, the end is coming. I said, you know, and he says to me, he says, well, I just won't believe that when that happens, right? And you will run up against people when you start sharing the gospel with them and you tell them that, hey, you know what? And I'll just go ahead and tell you so you know where I stand. I think the church is going to be called out before the rapture, because any time in the Bible that God has poured His wrath out on the world, there was a remnant taken out before he did that, right? Okay, you know, when he rained fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, he got Lot and his family out first. When he decided to destroy the world with the flood, he got Noah and his family out first. And I think that is, you know, the Old Testament foreshadows to the New. Man, praise the Lord. That the Old Testament foreshadows to the New Testament. And I think one of these days when we don't even least expect it, that God's just going to say, hey, it's time. And before we even know it, we're going to be in the middle of the air and we're going to see Jesus coming up. See, that's not Jesus' second coming, because it doesn't say that Jesus comes to the earth. It says we shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be. Okay, that's not the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus is the day of the Lord, when He comes back to set things right here. Okay? So, that brings me to this. I won't believe that. Well, let's see. Look what it says here in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now look what it says here in verse 11. And for this cause, okay, because of what? because they received not the love of the truth and be saved. Right? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Okay? Now, when if you're needing something to highlight in your Bible when you're going to talk to lost people, you highlight where it says strong delusion. Okay? Because God is pretty good at sending strong delusion. There's a group called the Jews that He has sent strong delusion to ever since they rejected the gospel that Paul preached to them, said, hey, sin, you count yourself not worthy of this gospel. I go to the Gentiles. Okay? And from that point on, God blinded the Jews. And to this day, the Jews are still looking for a Messiah, having no idea that the real Messiah died for every sin that they committed 2,000 years ago. Why? Because God has blinded them. Okay? Now, and so when we talk to the lost people and say, okay, you want to take your chances going into the tribulation period? Well, what it says here, it says, if you choose not to receive the love of truth, that you might be saved, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So every person that tells you, I'm going to take my chance in the tribulation period, will be sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And if they believe the lie, then that means they will take that mark of the beast so they can buy and sell. And turn over here real quick, and I'm done. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. And I know we kept you a little bit long here, but I tell you what, it's blessed. Hey, I'll tell you, I never thought I could get a blessing reading about the end times, because, you know, you think about the end times, it's like, oh, it's so scary. Hey, the end times aren't scary for us, right? I mean, what's scary about being caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be? I mean, what's scary about that, right? Look what it says here in chapter 19 and verse 19. Says, and I saw the beast. Now, this is the vision that God showed John. And remember, the beast refers to who in Revelation? The Antichrist, right? Or the abomination of desolation, or the little horn in Daniel. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, if you want to know who that is and you want to get a blessing, you back up there to verse 11 and you see who's on that horse. Okay, I'll let you study that out for yourself. It's talking about Jesus, you know. If you know, we'll give you a spoiler there. Now look at verse 20. It said, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast." Right. All those people who God sent strong delusion that they should believe a lie will receive that mark, okay? So what happens to those people that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image? These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now that's talking about the beast and the false prophet. Now, here's what's in store for the ones that took the mark. And the remnant, that's talking about everybody else that's left, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. The sword, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So that's what happens to people that take the mark. They're going to see Jesus coming on a white horse. Said his vesture is dipped in blood. And written on it is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to come down to this earth. And he's just going to look at the Antichrist. And he's going to say, you're done. Boom. And there he goes into the lake of fire. Okay? People say that God doesn't send people to hell. Yes, God does. Okay? Now, it's your choice whether or not God sends you to hell or not. But people say, oh, no, you send your own self to hell. No, you don't. Okay? You tread through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by that you're saying, I make my decision to go to hell, and God says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Okay? But the ones that take the mark, he will come, and I believe he's going to be on a real horse. I really do, and I think that'd be awesome. just to see that. And it says that he's coming with his saints, so I'm going to be behind him somewhere. And I hope I can see the rear end of that horse. I hope I ain't back way yonder, you know, to where I can't see that. Man, I tell you, I mean, I hope I see, you know, just sinking spur and heading down there.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
And just to see him just laying right there, pull reins back, look at him, boom, and just open his mouth and the rest of them just melt. Hey, imagine being that horse that Jesus rode.
Maybe he'll come back as a horse.
Yeah. So why do we need to know this? Because people need to know that if they go into this, this is what's waiting on you.
Amen.
Okay? You know, the Bible says over in Jude, save some with compassion, save some with fear, pulling them from the fire. Right? And we're living in a time now to where people need to be scared. You know, and we need to tell people, hey, this is what's waiting on you, and this is what's going to happen if you go into that without Jesus Christ. Okay? So, praise the Lord. But you know what? The Bible says that He will destroy them. He'll destroy the Antichrist and the beast. And you know what? We can have joy, and we can praise the Lord that we're nowhere in that picture except riding behind Jesus.
Amen.
Coming back. Amen. Amen.